So, when you picture a labor dispute, maybe a strike, your mind probably jumps straight to picket lines, right? Protests.
Yeah, maybe even a kind of controlled chaos, that sort of image.
Exactly. It's easy to focus on the immediate stuff, the halted production, maybe frustrated customers. But here's a question that maybe doesn't get asked enough. How do businesses actually, navigate that?
Right. How do they keep things running, even thriving sometimes?
Yeah. When their workforce is, well, out on strike.
It's a huge challenge. It can really make or break an organization, honestly.
And that's exactly what we're diving into today.
It is. And our insights, they're coming from some really detailed excerpts, a document on strike contingency planning, labor dispute solutions.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Oh, it is. It gives you a real look behind the curtain, you know?
Absolutely.
Yep.
So our mission with this deep dive really is to unpack all of that.
Pull back the layers.
Yeah, show the proactive strategies, the stuff companies do, often behind the scenes, to minimize the disruption.
And the financial hits, the reputational damage.
Right. So by the end of this conversation, you listening should be, well, incredibly well-informed on this whole area.
Yeah.
It's pretty critical for business resilience.
And proactive is the key word there. That's the foundation. This material we're looking at, it's not about just reacting to a crisis hitting.
Okay.
It defines strike contingency planning as the deliberate, proactive development and, well, implementation of strategies and measures.
So it's all about foresight, not just firefighting when the strike actually happens.
Exactly. That's it. Perfectly.
And the core aim, like these insights highlight, seems to be dramatically lessening the disruption.
Right. Making sure crucial operations continue.
Keeping customers loyal, protecting the company's brand during all that disturbance.
Yeah. And what really stands out, as you sort of hinted, is that this isn't just one plan for the strike itself.
Oh, okay.
It covers actions before things kick off, during the strike, and even after it's resolved.
Wow. Okay. That breadth really shows the strategic thinking needed.
It really does. And that leads us straight into why this planning is just so critical.
Right. The why.
The document, it talks about a triple imperative for businesses.
Okay, a triple imperative. What's the first one?
Well, first, and maybe the most obvious one, is safeguarding business continuity.
Keeping the doors open, basically.
Yes, but it's actually deeper than just avoiding downtime. The insights show that companies with, thorough, predefined plans, they can potentially mitigate up to like 70% of potential revenue loss during a short strike compared to companies without a plan.
70%. That's
Yeah.
huge. It shows how fast those losses pile up.
It's staggering, yeah. It's not just keeping the lights on, it's protecting the entire operational heartbeat of the company.
Okay, so continuity is number one. What's the second imperative?
Maintaining client satisfaction.
The customer angle.
Yeah, and the document really flags this as like non-negotiable.
Makes sense. Internal hits are one thing, but losing customer trust.
That can have devastating long-term effects.
Totally. So a strong plan helps with that. How?
It means you're ready. You proactively communicate with customers, you manage their
Oh,
expectations,
yeah.
and crucially, you offer alternative solutions so they feel minimal impact.
So it's about protecting those relationships, your market position.
Exactly. And that connects directly to the third imperative, reducing legal and financial risks.
Right, because these disputes aren't just operational headaches.
Not at all. They carry potentially severe financial and, importantly, legal repercussions.
So this planning isn't just about efficiency then.
No, it involves really rigorously evaluating and reducing those risks.
How? Like what kind of things?
Well, making sure you're complying with all the labor laws, exploring lawful alternate work schedules, keeping transparent communication lines open with unions, with employees.
So having those legal safeguards, that clear communication protocol.
It can significantly reduce potential lawsuits, the associated costs, which can be just astronomical otherwise.
Okay, so we've established why this planning is absolutely essential. The stakes are just too high. But how do you even start building something like this? A resilient system. It can't just be guesswork.
No, definitely not.
The insights, they dive into the architecture of a good plan, right? Starting with,
Yeah.
what did it call it? The foundational
Yeah,
step.
vulnerability and risk analysis.
Okay. How detailed does that actually get? Is it just a quick look
Oh,
around?
no, this isn't just like a basic audit. The document really emphasizes drilling down
Drilling down how?
to determine specific single points of failure. Maybe there's one machine operator with unique
Or a
skills.
compliance person with special certifications.
Exactly. And it involves pretty sophisticated scenario planning, too.
Like what?
Like, what if 20% of your finance team walks out? What if a specific union targets your main distribution hub?
Wow. So you're mapping out potential cascading failures, not just single absences.
Precisely. That allows you to create really specialized strategies tailored to your unique weak spots.
Okay, so you identify those critical fault lines. But even the best plans, they can fall apart without.
Well, the document highlights communication.
Oh, absolutely. A clear, effective communication plan. It's the lifeline.
What does effective communication really mean here in this specific context?
It's about being precise and being consistent.
Okay.
The plan needs to spell out frequent, accurate updates for everyone, staff, clients, suppliers, other stakeholders.
I keep everyone in the loop.
Yeah, and it's not just about pushing information out. It's about maintaining trust, building confidence, and really managing expectations across the board.
So people don't panic or speculate.
Exactly. If they know what's happening, even if the news is tough, they're less likely to fill that vacuum with fear or rumors.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense,
Right.
which leads, I guess, directly to operational resilience, specifically through alternative work arrangements.
Yes. This part involves looking into and setting up backup plans, thinking outside the usual staffing box. Can you give us some concrete examples? What might these arrangements look like?
Sure. We're talking about things like cross-training your existing employees so they can step into different critical roles if needed.
Okay, using the people you have differently.
Right. Or maybe contracting out specific, maybe non-core duties to third parties.
Outsourcing some functions temporarily.
Yeah, or engaging with reputable temporary staffing firms. People who can provide qualified staff quickly.
So the goal is just guarantee essential operations continue, even if the main workforce isn't there.
That's it. It's about having multiple layers of operational defense ready to go.
And it seems like it's not just about logistics and staffing, though.
No, definitely not.
There's a crucial piece, maybe often underestimated, about cultivating relationships, interacting with employees and unions.
Yes, hugely important.
Is there a specific approach highlighted for, keeping those relationships going, especially when tensions might be rising?
There is, yeah. And it's pretty powerful. The focus is really on encouraging open, honest communication well before a dispute even
So
escalates.
being proactive with relationships too.
Exactly. It means actively listening to employee concerns, trying to address problems constructively, looking for solutions that work for both sides.
Win-win situations, ideally.
Yeah. This kind of proactive, ongoing relationship building, it can actually prevent disputes from even getting to the strike stage.
Or at least make them shorter if they do happen.
Right. Or significantly speed up the resolution, allow for a smoother return to normal afterwards. It emphasizes that even when you're in conflict, that underlying relationship still matters.
What's really insightful about all these parts, the risk analysis, the communication, the staffing, the relationships, is that they don't seem to operate in isolation. The document calls it strategic synthesis, right? An integrated approach.
Yes, that's a key concept.
Why is that holistic view so vital for organizational toughness?
Well, think about it. A failure in one area can bring down the whole thing.
Right.
If you have a brilliant operational plan, but your communication is terrible, it's going to fail.
Or if you manage risks, but totally alienate your workforce.
New risks just pop up. So this integrated approach, combining that solid risk assessment, clear communication strategies, flexible work arrangements, and genuine employee engagement, it creates a kind of cohesive shield.
A unified front.
Yeah. It lets businesses tackle these disputes, knowing all the complex parts, and hopefully emerge stronger, more unified.
Okay, so we've got the blueprint, the overall strategy. Now, let's talk about actually putting it into action. The battleground, maybe?
Hey, when things get real.
What are the critical proactive steps companies should be taking before a strike even looks likely?
Well, the first and most basic is to actually develop that comprehensive plan we've been talking about, not just as an idea, but with real meticulous detail.
Flesh it out properly.
Exactly. It needs to clearly outline specific actions. What do you do before, during, and after a potential strike?
Covering everything.
Everything. Granular risk assessments, detailed comms protocols, how you allocate resources, people, equipment, supplies, and concrete contingency measures for, well, pretty much every possible scenario.
So it needs to be a living document, really.
Definitely. Not something gathering dust on a shelf.
Okay, so you have the plan,
Yeah.
but you also have to train and educate people.
Right. Crucial.
What does that look like to make sure everyone's actually on the same page when it matters?
It's kind of multi-layered. Your key personnel, they need rigorous training on the strike protocols, their specific jobs during it.
They need to know the playbook.
And not just what to do, but why they're doing it, the strategy behind it.
Okay. And what about the broader workforce?
Simultaneously, all employees need to be educated about their rights, their obligations during a dispute, and importantly, what the organization's stance and expectations are.
Clarity.
Clarity minimizes confusion, potential missteps, misunderstandings.
And tying back to that relationship piece we talked about, maintaining those relationships before a strike hits seems paramount.
Absolutely critical.
How important is that pre-strike engagement with the labor unions?
Look, it's probably the primary preventative measure.
Really?
Yeah. Cultivating positive relationships through ongoing open dialogue, negotiating in good faith, resolving conflicts proactively, even small ones that can significantly reduce the chance of a strike happening at all.
It builds a foundation of trust.
Exactly. A foundation that can hopefully withstand disagreements when they do come up.
Okay, so despite all the preparation, the worst happens. A strike is called. The plan is ready.
Right. Share time.
What are the immediate strategic actions that kick in during the strike itself?
The immediate priority is activating those contingency measures you already defined.
Putting the plan into motion.
Yes. Deploying the alternate staffing, maybe redistributing workloads among the people who are working, and critically, ensuring the safety of all employees involved, whether working or striking.
Safety first.
Always. Every action should follow that pre-agreed plan to minimize chaos and keep operational control.
And I imagine it's definitely not a set it and forget it
I'm
situation.
not at all. Far from it.
How much ongoing monitoring and adjustment is needed?
It's highly dynamic. The document really stresses continuous monitoring of the situation, basically in real time.
So watching constantly.
Yeah, assessing the strike's impact immediate and evolving on all parts of the business. And then making necessary agile adjustments to your contingency measures as you go.
So it's a constant feedback loop. Observe, analyze, adapt.
That's a great way to put it. Yes.
And finally, even when you're right in the thick of a dispute, the advice is still to preserve relationships.
Yes.
Even
How
then,
does that work when, passions might be running pretty high on all sides?
it means deliberately maintaining open and, importantly, respectful lines of communication with all the stakeholders.
Including the striking employees and unions.
Yes, employees on strike, the unions, your suppliers, your customers, everyone. The focus kind of shifts to actively seeking opportunities for dialogue, for negotiation, for finding ways to resolve the conflict, looking for common ground.
Trying to find a mutually agreeable resolution. It's about looking past the immediate fight to the long-term health of the company and its people.
So that once the strike is over,
The path back to normal, back to rebuilding, is as smooth as it possibly can be.
wow, what an incredibly insightful deep dive into something that, yeah, from the outside often just looks like pure chaos.
It can seem that way.
But we've seen how this strike contingency planning, it's not just reacting, it's a critical proactive process. It
Absolutely.
allows organizations to navigate these really complex labor disputes with, well, resilience. It's this highly structured approach that lets businesses manage these massive unforeseen challenges.
Keeps operations going, safeguards reputations.
Yeah.
It really is a powerful demonstration, isn't it? How careful, proactive planning, that deep risk assessment, and clear, consistent communication, how they can turn potential crises into situations that are at least manageable.
Allowing companies to come out not just intact, but maybe even stronger.
Potentially, yes.
And that leads us to our final thought for you, listening. Consider how these principles, this proactive planning, the comprehensive risk assessment, that clear communication, how essential they are for managing strikes,
Right.
but how they might apply to other areas of your life or your business, places where unexpected disruptions can just pop up.
That's a great question.
Think about maybe a major project at work, or a big personal decision, or even just getting through a really challenging week.
Yeah.
What personal or professional contingency plans might you need to develop to manage those inevitable bumps in the road and, hopefully, emerge stronger yourself?